For our scripture reading tonight, I invite you to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. And tonight we'll be looking at verses 15 through 20. Verses 15 through 20. As we consider our theme tonight, as you see the title of our sermon, Christmas is here, now what? And so let's turn our attention now to the Word of God, reminding you this is God's holy and authoritative and inspired Word from Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 15. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Thus ends the reading of God's word, and may he bless his word unto us. I want to encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we study this portion of scripture. I'll have a few points to make. So if you're someone who wants to take some notes and be on the back of the order of worship, you may do so. I'll do my best to help you. If you're someone that likes to take some notes, I'll do my best to give you those points as we study this word of study the word of God together. Let's pause and let's go to our Lord and let's pray. Oh Lord, tonight we would ask that we would behold wonderful truths about your word. And Lord, that these truths would not just be something that we recognize in our head, but Lord, these would be truths that we would put into our hearts. Lord, that you would speak to us by your word and by your spirit. Lord, that we would be able to leave this place and to know that we have worshiped you and that we can say you have spoken to us. Oh Lord, bless us here as we study your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Let us say together, amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there's going to come a point, it might be tonight, it might be tomorrow, where you're going to sit back and you're going to look around and you're going to say, now what? Some of us have spent time shopping and getting dinner plans and getting all these family gatherings, and we're going to look around and the dinner's going to be consumed and the presents are going to be opened, and we're going to sit there and go, now what? Some of us very well might exclaim, yes, it's over. And some of us might exclaim, it's over already? Already? No wonder there are people who have the so-called holiday blues. We work so hard and spend so much time ready to enjoy Christmas, and when it's over, we sit there and think, what's next? Here in Luke chapter 2, we were introduced this morning, as we studied this morning, to a group of shepherds. A group of shepherds who witnessed something marvelous. Angels have come to proclaim the coming of the Messiah. That promise that God, that proto-euangelion, as the Greek word is, first promise, that first gospel message that we find way back in Genesis 3, verse 15, has now come to fruition after all these years. That the promises of God have come true. And the angels have said so much that to the shepherds, they have, if you recall, they say, fear not. Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. One of the things I didn't mention this morning, as we often do, is we see that word behold. Pay attention. I've got some good news. I've got some great news of a great joy. That in the town for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And here's the sign. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And of course, the angels then, a multitude of the angels appear and they say, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. But then the angels leave. The angels leave. And now what? Now what? It's been declared, now what? And so tonight what I want to do is I want to look at these verses. I want us to consider some reactions to the birth of Christ and how they apply to us here tonight. Some reactions, and we're going to see how Mary reacts and how the shepherds react and how people around them react. And Lord willing, spur us on. So that we're not leaving Christmas time and going, well, now what? No, we'll know what we need to do based on what the shepherd, how the shepherds react or how the people react here in verses 15 through 20. And so let's study this portion of scripture together as we look at these reactions to the Christmas announcement. The first one I want us to consider tonight is this. Point number one is believe in Jesus. Now, you might right away say, wait a minute, Pastor. How are you getting believe in Jesus out of verses 15 and 16? Well, let's look at it together. When the angels went away from them in the heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. These shepherds, I'm pretty confident these shepherds are not Presbyterian. And here's why. They didn't form a study committee. They didn't sit back and go, you know, did that angel, did that thing really happen or didn't it happen? Did they really, those angels that were here that gone to heaven, am I dreaming this? I mean, after all, I was sleeping in the fields when this happened. Do you notice there's no doubt? There's no hesitation. There's no delay. They go at once in order to see what the Lord has made known to them. They are told, you will find, and the shepherds respond, the response with, let's go and let's find this now. The shepherds weren't planning on making a trip this evening. They were busy watching their flocks. But they went. And the let us go over to Bethlehem suggests that it wasn't just a walk down the street. This was a bit of a journey. There was some type of journey to get to Bethlehem, some journey to get to where the manger was. It was not next door. And yet they realized distance would be no hindrance. They went. God spoke to them and they went. And they hurried to Bethlehem. They found things exactly the way it was. They went. The only way they're really going to truly go is if they've suddenly realized this was real. They only went because there was some sort of faith. It might have not been a real complex faith. It might have been a very simple faith, but nonetheless, they went. And outside of Mary and Joseph, it's the shepherds who are the first ones of mankind that laid their eyes upon the Christ child. They went. And they believed. And don't you find it interesting that later on is Jesus, after his resurrection, he appears for Thomas. You remember Thomas? He says, well, I'm not going to believe until I can see the nail prints in his hands and the spear in his side and feel that wound. Then I'll believe. Jesus appears and he says, Thomas, touch my hands. What's interesting is the scriptures never say whether or not he really touched his hands. He says, my Lord and my God. And Jesus' response is, you have seen and believed. Blessed are those who do not see and yet believe. These shepherds saw and believed. Blessed are those who do not see and yet believe. That's us today, tonight, here at Providence. You see, brothers and sisters, the birth of Christ is more than simply a nice little picture of a nativity scene on a Christmas card. The birth of Christ is much more than just simply another story that to be told with Santa, Rudolph, and Frosty. This is a historical event that calls us to faith, to react with the shepherds, to go and believe in Christ Jesus. No questions asked. No mental understanding needed. This pilgrimage that they went to the manger was one of faith, a very simple faith. They heard, they went, they saw, they believed. And God is calling each and every one of us here tonight to believe as well. That today is the day of salvation. Today is the day we realize the most incredible gift we've ever received. Not from mom, from our dad, not from our children. The greatest gift we ever received is from God who sent His Son for our sakes. He's calling us to trust Christ Jesus. The shepherds didn't question it. They didn't say, well, I'm not going to go because I believe they went. I call everyone tonight to believe Christ Jesus. To know the gift is ours. The salvation is ours through Him. First rate to find to believe Christ. Tell others about Jesus, verses 17 and 18. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. The shepherds had a desire to share their marvelous experience. Now, who did they tell? It says they made known the saying, but who did they make that known to? Well, likely they made that known to Mary and Joseph. To tell Mary and Joseph about how an angel came and told them about the child and how to find him and how an entire army of angels joyfully proclaimed these truths and songs. They may have told the shepherds, Mary and Joseph might have reciprocated and told them the stories of how the angel appeared before Joseph when Joseph was considering divorcing Mary quietly and how the angel said, you shall name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Or Mary might have shared how the angel said that she has found favor with God and how her son would be great and he'd be called the Son of the Most High. You see, by communicating those experiences to each other, they, as Matthew Henry will write, they likely greatly strengthen one another's faith. And so we have a story to tell. You know, we read in our hymn books, we sing, I love to tell the story. And we don't really think of that as a very Christmassy song. But it wasn't that long ago when one of our services, we sang the song, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. And how it tells about Christ and being born and how Christ died. To tell others about Jesus. And so we should not be ashamed to talk about our faith, especially with others who believe. But the story didn't stop there. And the reason why we come to realize that is because we find here in verse 18, and all who heard it wondered at what shepherds told them. They didn't simply share it with Mary and Joseph. They didn't simply make this little pact and say, okay, here's the story, this is what we're going to say, and we're just going to leave it between us. Right? Cross my heart, hope to die. Poke a needle in my eye. No, they went out and they told others. The whole story. The angels, Joseph, Mary. They tell them that there is peace on earth. That there is glory to God in the highest. That he was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, and he was born of a virgin. They told others. It reminds me of a story you find in the Old Testament, a story that you may or may not be familiar with. It's in 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7, there's some lepers, and they're basically like, look, if we don't do something, we're going to die. So, if we sit here, we're going to starve, we're going to die. If we go to the Israel army, we're going to die. If we go to the Syrian army, we're going to die. So, if we're going to do it, let's just do it. And in the meanwhile, the Lord had stirred up this loud noise in the Syrian army so that when the lepers got to the camp, it was completely empty. You read the story in 2 Kings 7. And they get to this camp, and it's completely empty. Everything is left behind. And the lepers say this: "We're not doing right. This day is a day of good news. If we are silent and wait until the morning light, punishment will overtake us. Now therefore, come, let us go and tell the king's household." This was a day of good news, and the shepherds recognized that as well. These lowlifes, these scum of the earth that are viewed in Jesus' day. It's these shepherds whose, by the way, whose words are not considered trustworthy, who can't testify in court. Their words were considered empty. These shepherds were willing to go and take on more ridicule and take on more disbelief, but they were willing to speak the good news. And how about us? You know, in 2018, what we want to do here is here at Providence, one of the things that we desire to do is to focus on outreach and to focus on evangelism. How to tell others? Why not start tonight? Why not start and tell others about your faith in Jesus Christ? To talk about the Christmas story and what it means to you and what it means to me. You see, there's so many that believe that Christmas is about milk and cookies at the fireplace and flying reindeer in a big red sleigh from the North Pole. But we as believers who believe in Christ, what we recognize is it's about an infant lying in a manger, not just any infant, but it's God in the flesh. And this is a message we shouldn't keep to ourselves. This is not a message that we say, okay, we're going to keep it within this room. But it's a message we go forth and tell others to declare to all people, just as the angel said in verse 10. Third reaction we find here in this passage is this: we believe to believe in Jesus, to tell others about Jesus. The third one is be amazed in Jesus. Be amazed in Jesus. All those who heard it, verse 18, wondered at what the shepherds told them. Some translations will say they were amazed. I considered singing Amazing Grace tonight. It's not a very Christmassy song, but it fits. They were amazed. Their reaction should not be surprising, that a sense of amazement, a sense of wonder, as they hear these stories of angelic messages and directions that leading them to an infant that's lying in a manger, a child that's born in a stable, the so-called Savior who is Christ the Lord. But that's where it ended for many people. They wondered. And that was it. A while back, I remember hearing about a youth convention, and the theme to that youth convention was Amazing Grace. And a statement was made, and it's stuck with me all this time, and I want to share it with you, relating it to the Christmas story. You see, there are three reactions to the Christmas story. First of all, we can be unfazed. It doesn't affect us whatsoever. And so many people, that's their reaction. That's a response. They're unfazed by it. Some people are dazed by it. I don't get it. I don't understand. It's not just me. Ask any pastor to try to explain the incarnation, explain how God took upon himself human nature and how that all worked and everything else. And some people are just dazed by it and say, you know what, I don't want to understand it. I don't want to get it. I don't care. But there's a third response, and that is to be amazed. Amazed at the Christmas story. So tonight I ask you, are you unfazed? Are you dazed? Or are you amazed by God's grace? Are you amazed that God entered space and time for you and for me, that this manger would lead us to the cross, that this would be the beginning of the end of our condemnation? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory as the only Son of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. There were many, as this verse points us to, all who heard it wondered to what the shepherds told them. They were like, wow, that's a great story. And that's where they left it. And we as God's people, we cannot just leave the Christmas story as simply going, wow, that's a really great story. Or to come here tonight and simply say, you know, I expect to hear the Christmas story. So, hey, I heard it. I can go on with my life. Are you unfazed by the Christmas story? Are you dazed by the Christmas story? Or are you amazed by that Christmas story? That leads to a fourth response. A fourth response to this story, to Jesus' birth, and that is this. And we find it in Mary in verse 19. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondering them in her heart. Mary is pretty quiet. We're going to see in just a moment, or we've seen already in the past, and we're going to see here in a couple minutes as well, the shepherds are not very quiet, but Mary very quietly and carefully stores all these things away. Mary treasured up all these things, ponders them in her heart. We can assume that she's thinking about the angel's message to her, the angel's message to Joseph, the song of the Magnificat. She may have heard by this time the story of Zechariah and how he finally got to speak after John the Baptist was born. How she considered her travels, as we read in verses 1 through 7, a passage we didn't cover tonight. But about the census and about the traveling and registering and realizing there's no room in the inn. And then to take upon that as the shepherd story, the angels, and how they traveled very quickly to see them. And Mary preserves them in her heart. She gives careful consideration. She reflects on it. She thinks deeply about it. You can make the statement here that this reveals a little bit about Mary's own faith. That this treasuring, this pondering, took some sort of form of gratitude, of prayer, and maybe even singing, as she did already once in Luke chapter 1. That she considered that she was chosen to bear the Savior, the Messiah. Mary is never perfect. No matter what the Roman Catholic Church teaches, Mary is never perfect. But Mary realized that she has given birth to not just any Savior, but her Savior and our Savior. And she treasures them. There's one OPC pastor in teaching about the Bible often talks about it as being a treasure map, and how we can, as we dig into the Scriptures, we find treasures. And Mary found a treasure. Mary found a treasure in a manger. And if Jesus later on will say, where your treasure is, there your heart is also, tonight is a question we must ask: where is our heart? What is our treasure? Is it the gifts under the tree? Is it the family gatherings? Is it the food on the table? Or is our treasure indeed the newborn King? The one that we sang at the very beginning, come and worship Christ, the newborn King. What do we treasure? And Paul will talk about in 2 Corinthians, he even makes a statement that we have this treasure in jars of clay. And we are jars of clay. We are fragile. We are broken. But we have a treasure. We have Christ Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. And it's something we shouldn't simply guard doesn't be toss out and throw out with the trash. It's a treasure. It's something we ponder and take careful thought of. You see, the truths of Christ are worth keeping. To meditate upon Christ and his salvation that is ours is definitely worth meditating upon. And not just tonight, not just on a Christmas Eve service, but each and every day, to treasure Christ, to fondly consider him and what he has done and the spiritual blessings that are ours in him. I have one more point tonight, and that's what we find in verse 20. A fifth reaction to the Christmas story is this, is to worship Jesus, to worship him. And verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Luke mentions often people praising God. And these shepherds praised him. Now, I must confess to you that I, like many of you, love Christmas songs. I'm not overly fond of them when they start at like somewhere around July 4, but nonetheless, I know that I love the Christmas songs. These shepherds sang. These shepherds glorified God. They didn't shrink back. They didn't say, well, we're shepherds and no one's going to believe us anyway. Nonetheless, they saw and they their faith. Their journey, their pilgrimage in faith ends with their return in praise. And brothers and sisters in Christ, tonight, we praise God. We praise God for his indescribable gift in Christ Jesus. We praise God for this child born to as our Lord and as our Savior. They praise God because of what they heard from the angel, because they thank God, because they saw the Christ child, they saw their Savior of the world. Some would have thought they were foolish. Some might have thought they were crazy. Maybe as the shepherds gathered together and talked with other shepherds, they might have said, really? Did you really see that? It didn't stop them. They returned praising, glorifying God. Brothers and sisters of Christ, our praise and our glorifying of God does not end tonight. It continues on. It continues on weekly. Because of what God has done for us in Christ. It's not something we just step back and go, oh, that's nice. It has a direct impact on our lives from beginning to end. If we are a believer in Christ Jesus, if we have trusted in him, if we believed in him, if we are amazed by him, if we are treasure him, if we tell others about him, we can't help but worship him too. To worship him because our salvation depends upon him. And so let me conclude tonight with this. What are we going to do on December 26th? What are we going to do when the lights come down and the decorations get put away and the parties are over? What are we going to do? Does the story stop? Do we simply just drop it and pretend like it's just something we do only at this time of the year? No, as God's people, may our trust in him grow. May our treasuring of him increase. May our telling others be often. May our worship be daily. May we be indeed amazed by God's grace in Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Oh Lord, how will we respond to your word? How will we respond to the Christmas story, Lord? You have called us to respond correctly. You've told us to respond in accordance to your word. And so, Lord, may we not be ashamed of evangelism. May we not be ashamed of worship. May we not be ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for everyone who believes. And Lord, tonight, we pray that we may treasure the gift that is ours in Christ. And Lord, maybe there is someone here this evening who is simply looking at this as being a nice story. Lord, I would pray that you would, by your word and spirit, that you would open up their eyes to see Christ, to behold him just as the shepherds beheld Christ, to behold him in faith, to say that this is indeed a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Oh Lord, hear us, we pray. It is in Jesus' name we ask all these things, and let us say together, Amen.